We continue our series on the Beatitudes, and this has been a great series as we look at God's Word, and we look at the greatest message from the greatest preacher of all time, and that's Jesus. And so I hope these Beatitudes are touching your life as they are mine. Today's is Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you've been around sports long enough, I'm sure you've heard the phrase, how hungry are you? When it comes to competition on the athletic field, it may not be a matter of who's the most talented team. It may be the matter of who's the most hungry team. The question is, how badly do you want it? I remember years ago when I was in middle school and I was playing soccer, and we were in a small Christian school, and we were playing against a team that came from Georgia, and they had one of those traveling buses. Matter of fact, they had two buses that pulled up, and we had to use like 3 8th graders on our high school team. And I was one of the three, but it was like we were overwhelmed, and they had definitely more talent. But we ended up winning the game by a score of 1-0 because we got one lucky goal, and we held them off. And our coach reminded us after the game, it's not how talented you are, it's how hungry you are. He said, remember all those times that I made you run 3 miles before every practice? He says, that was getting you ready. Getting you hungry for the game. He says, and because of that, you won. That's why it's so hard for an NFL team to win back-to-back Super Bowls. Because once you won one, you know, your hunger seems to dissipate. You're not as wanting to do putting the extra work and all the time that's required in order for excellence. Hunger dictates actions, and actions produce outcomes. Without hunger, an athlete will become lazy. They will half-step through a drill, or they won't have their complete focus and attention upon what they're doing. And after all, they sometimes get congratulated so much they forget what it takes to win. Hunger motivates a person to push harder, to dig deeper, to pursue goals, and be more passionate. Hunger helps you win. So it shouldn't come to us as no surprise that Jesus would use this phrase, hunger, in our relationship with God. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus is not talking about physical food or physical drink. Jesus is talking about those who desire and have a hunger to live a righteous life. And he says, if you have this hunger, when you look inside of yourself, like we've been looking with all the Beatitudes, do you find this inside of yourself? Do you find a hunger within you that says, I want to live for God, and I want to do it His way, and I want to put Him first? Is there a hunger? Is there a passion to do it for Him? Hunger is one of the great indicators to a doctor that you're healthy. If the patient's appetite is not good, then something is going on. Because everybody should be hungry at some point during the day. It's a natural response in our body. So if you go to the doctor and the doctor says, have you been hungry lately? And you say, no, I just haven't had an appetite. I don't know, I just haven't wanted to eat lately. Well, you better believe he's going to run some tests. Because something is wrong if you're not hungry. There's something wrong spiritually as well. If we look within ourselves and we go, you know, I just don't have a hunger for the things of God. I just don't desire to do God's things God's way. Then something is wrong within your soul. If you don't desire to walk the worthy calling that God has called us to, then there's something missing. Now, probably in America today, most people, and I'm generalizing, don't really know the true meaning of hunger. I mean, we don't really know what it really means to hunger and thirst. Sure, we might be inconvenienced from time to time because we're so busy in our schedules that we skip lunch or skip breakfast. And we're like, oh man, I can't wait for lunch to get here because my stomach's growling, you know, dinner, oh, it's growling. I'm so hungry. But really, we don't really know what true hunger is like. In Jesus' day, they knew what real hunger was like at times. I mean, think about it. It took a great deal of effort to prepare a meal. There was no such thing as going to the fridge and getting a snack when you got a little hungry. There's no such thing as putting the meal together quickly by zapping it in a microwave or taking it out of your stove or oven. It took hours to prepare a meal. And you were just hoping in the morning when you woke up, you had enough flour to make the bread in order to have something to eat that day. Little was wasted, and little was what you generally got. So people in Jesus' day may have understood the meaning of hunger and thirst a little bit more than we do today. I've been told that hunger, when you really experience hunger, it literally hurts. It hurts so much that you can't even sleep at night because your belly is just in pain from the hunger. It'll keep you up all night. And that's the kind of hunger that Jesus is talking about. That's the kind of thirst that he's talking about. He's saying, do you have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness that you just cannot ignore? There's something within you that says, I just got to do it God's way. There's something within you that says, I just want to know what God thinks about this and how God wants me to do this. If that's you, then Jesus says, you're blessed. You're blessed. Because you have a hunger to do it my way. And remember, blessing, he's talking about here, is not just, he's talking about earthly blessings. He's talking about being satisfied in your soul. There are several passages of Scripture that describe this kind of hunger. Give me a moment and let me just look at seven of them with you. Psalms 119:20. The psalmist says, my soul is crushed with longings after the ordinances at all times. What is the psalmist saying? He says, man, my soul is just crushed. I'm just hungering for doing things God's way. That's the ordinances, God's law. I want to do it God's way. Psalms 42:1, this is one you probably know from an old song from years ago. As a deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you. In other words, man, there's something in me that wants more of God, that hungers more for God. Psalm 63:1, oh God, you are my God. I shall seek you, what? Earnestly. My soul, it thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And we live in a culture where there is no water. And there are many people, we talked about this the other day, that are thirsting and hungering for truth. And the psalmist is saying that, man, he's saying, my soul, it just hungers and thirsts for your truth, for you, O God. Let's look at a couple from Isaiah. Isaiah says this in Isaiah 26:8. Yes, the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of your soul is for your name and for remembrance of you. Isaiah is saying, man, we are waiting for your judgments. What are your judgments? The way you think about how life should be lived. With my soul, Isaiah 26:9, he would go on and say, with my soul, I have desired you in the night. Yes, my spirit within me, I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Again, he's talking about doing things God's way, the judgments. What is God's law? What does God say about this? How should I live my life according to God's word? because there's a hunger in me that wants to do it His way. Well, let's get a couple from the New Testament. So you can't just say, oh, that's just the Old Testament. It's the New too. Paul wrote these words in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His, what? Righteousness. And the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Paul's hunger and desire in Philippians. Remember when we looked at that great book of this earlier this year? Man, Paul had his hunger and desire to know God and know the power of His resurrection. But he wanted to know His righteousness because he wanted to know how to live life correctly. 1 Peter 2:2, Peter said these words, like newborn babes, long for pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. In other words, Peter says, man, we should be like babies desiring pure milk. When a baby doesn't get pure milk and it's hungry, it does one thing. It cries. Right? Because it wants some milk. He said, that should be us. Man, when we can't get to God's word in our life, we ought to be crying for it. We ought to desire it. All these verses have one common trait that you see over and over again, is that in the lives of the people who follow God, there is a longing and a thirsting after the things of God. Because healthy followers of God have a healthy desire to live for Him. It is abnormal to say, I know God, and not desire to live according to this word. It's just not healthy. You don't have there's something wrong in your spirit or in your soul if you don't desire to live for God, if you know Him or claim to know Him. I like what Moses said. Moses said in Exodus 33:18, show me your glory, right? One of the reasons we do not experience more of God in our country, in our lives, could it be because we really don't have a hunger for God? Because maybe our appetites, honestly, are filled with so many things, right? So many things. That all the phones, all the televisions, all the things that we have in our life, all the fancy stuff we have, that somehow God has very little time. If you decide to take your family to Disney World, let me just give you a heads up. It's going to break the bank. Ain't no way around it. I looked up just the other day because I know at some point we'll probably take Henry to Disney World, maybe down the road when he's a little older and can remember it. So I was thinking, what in the world is the cost of a ticket? Well, it's really high. But that's not what it got me. Do you know what the cost of food is in there now? It is enormous. For one fountain drink, you know, just a drink, $6. Can you imagine paying $6 for a Coke? For just a cup of coffee, you're looking at $3.50. The average family of four, it says on their website, should plan to spend at least $250 a day just in food alone. Why can they charge so much? Because once you get in that theme park, you can't get food anywhere else. Right? Because to go back to your car, because they won't let you carry food in. I've been there. They don't let you carry food in. They're going to search you. They're going to make sure. They're going to pat you down. You're going to have no food when you walk in there. And if you want something, you got to walk from wherever you are all across the park to the exit area. Then you got to get on a tram and take this tram all the way out to the parking lot. When you get to the parking lot, then you got to walk another mile out to your car. And by the time you get to your car and get your food, well, the day's shot. So, that's a no-brainer. You got to stay. And then they know in that Florida sun, as it gets hotter and hotter, you're going to get thirstier and thirstier. And because you have no water bottle with you, you're going to end up going, I got to have something to drink. All of a sudden, that Coke at $7 a cup, it doesn't look that bad. Yeah, I guess we got to have something to eat, honey. I'm about to starve to death. I'm not going to make it. And then I find myself in the line, spending $250 to feed my family. Because otherwise, I'm going to die in the park. Right? Isn't that what they do? Because they know when you get hot and you get tired and you get hungry, you will pay the price. Can I tell you that when you get hungry and tired of the mundane routine of life and you say, I want more of God, you won't mind the price anymore. Because I got to tell you, if you're going to seek righteousness, it costs you. It costs you. If you're going to hunger and thirst for God, it's going to cost you. Because it's going to mean you're going to have to give up some time on your phone. You're going to have to give up some time doing what you want to do. To spend time with God. To read His Word. To pray. It's going to cost you. Because as you begin to live your life, people aren't going to understand you. Why are you so changing? Why are you so different? Why don't you live like we live? Why don't you listen to the jokes we listen to and do this and do that? Why? Because I have a hunger to know God. But you'll be willing to pay the price because what you get in return is so much, has so much value. It is worth the price. Most of us were little. Probably when we were little, we're sitting at the dining room table. And you know those days when mom did not cook your favorite? Been there many times. My mom is not a great cook. But there were times when she'd cook a meal and we wouldn't be hungry. We'd sit there and say, we'd play with our food. You know, you start moving around the plate a little bit, you know, hoping if you move it around a little bit, she will think that you've eaten enough of it. You know? And we'll say, Mom, can I just get some peanut butter sandwich out of the fridge real quick? No, you got to finish your plate. Well, I'm just not hungry. All right, you can go play. But that plate's going to sit here until you're ready to eat. Right? You know what they told you back that if you were in our age, you're my age growing up, you know, you had to finish a plate before you got something else. Right? So you go out and you'd play because mamas knew that picky eaters aren't hungry eaters. But hungry eaters are big eaters. And once you got hungry enough, you come back and eat that green stuff. Right? You just had to get hungry enough. I think maybe that's the problem in the church today. And I'm not trying to throw the church under the bus. But maybe we're just become picky eaters. That we're not really hungry enough. You know? Maybe we just nibble on spiritual food. And when we show up on a Sunday, we chow down on the message. But then it doesn't last us through the week. And we're hungry again the next Sunday. I don't know how you grew up, but when I grew up, my mom would always make a huge Sunday meal. She didn't cook much during the week, but on Sunday, she was always cooking something big. It was always like fried chicken or roast beef, and we had all the fixings to it, right? And you would sit down at the table, and you would eat and eat and eat. But you couldn't make it off that meal all week long. right? I mean, by 9 o'clock at night, you were hungry again. By the next day, you were definitely hungry again. And if you didn't eat until the next Sunday, you would probably starve to death. Sunday meal on Sunday morning, what you get is not meant to fill you up all week long. Sometimes I think we nibble because we just kind of like pick at a Bible app and pick a verse off and we post it and think that a verse a day keeps the devil away, you know? And there's nothing wrong with posting verses. I'm glad to see verses all the Scripture. I post verses on Scripture from time to time. It's a good thing to do. But you can't live off of that, right? You got to have more meat than just a nibble, a bite here or there, or listen to a podcast for 15 or 20 minutes during the day and say, okay, I've got my spiritual food. God's talking about hungry and thirsting for righteousness means, man, if I want to really know how to live God's way, then I want to really read this book and understand it and know it. Because this is where the instruction manual is on how I'm going to live my life God's way. And if I desire righteousness, well, then this thing matters to me. And what I gain from it matters. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be full. Maybe I should have done this earlier, and I apologize, but let me define what righteousness is. Righteousness is not some kind of dainty, delicate thing that describes a person with a halo over their heads. No, righteousness is real stuff. Righteousness is making godly choices every single day based on truth, God's word. Let me say that again. Righteousness is making daily choices every day based upon the truth, which is God's word. Righteousness is knowing all about God's will and living according to his standard. It simply means lining my life up with the way God wants me to live. I can't do that unless I'm devouring the Word of God, unless I know the Word of God. We must be careful not to allow the enemy to keep us so busy that we just settle for a pacifier on Sunday morning. It makes us feel good for the moment, but leaves us still hungry. I don't know, we've all probably seen the mom that has a little tiny baby. When they come into church, they generally sit on the back row, right? And they sit there with their little baby, and they hold the little baby, and then the baby starts to get a little fussy. And usually they'll take the pacifier out, and the pacifier goes in the baby's mouth. And the baby will suck on that pacifier for a little while until it figures out, there ain't no food coming out of there. There's no milk coming out. What does that baby do? That baby drops that pacifier. It just lets go of it, boom, and it falls. And you see the mom go down and try to catch it. Because if it hits the ground, then you got to wash it and all that. So they try to catch it as they go. They grab it and they hold on to it. They try to put it back in. The baby will suck again for a few more times. And it knows right away. And it goes back out. And you see it over and over again. Until finally the baby's had enough. Right? And however how hungry that baby is, it will determine how loud that yell, a cry, is going to be. And that baby is really hungry. It's going to let out a yell of hunger for food. I think we have to be careful not to treat Sunday as a pacifier. For the hunger of the Word of God and the truth that we so desperately need. Because let me again encourage you. We live in a culture that is hungry for truth. That our people are starving to death. And they're crying out for truth. And it causes so much chaos in life without the Word of God. Again, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus says, you're blessed if you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because if you're hungry and thirsty for righteousness, then you find what really fills and satisfies your soul. Because there's nothing that will satisfy your soul like God's Word. Everything else will leave you still hungry. This is the only thing that can satisfy your soul. You start getting the truth of God's word. You start making godly choices. And then you start experiencing rest and peace in your life. Because Jesus says that you will be filled. For those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled, he says. You're no longer starving. You're no longer dealing with the hunger pains. You're experiencing satisfaction in your spiritual soul. Psalms 34:10 says, the young lion, it lacks and suffers hunger. But those who seek the Lord, they shall lack no good thing or any good thing. Psalms 107:9, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. To be satisfied means to be lacking nothing. If you're hungry and thirsty for righteousness and you're eating it up and applying it to your life, then you will lack nothing. You will be satisfied in your soul. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean, that you will have everything that you want or wish. That's not the kind of contentment he's talking about. He's talking about in your soul there will be contentment. There will be peace. There will be joy. There will be self-control. There will be this satisfaction that only comes from seeking righteousness. Paul so beautifully put this in Philippians 4:11-13. Paul wrote these words, not that I was ever in need, for I learned how to be content with whatever I have. Verse 12, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little. For I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. What Paul is saying is, he's saying that, man, in any situation in life, I find that I gain my strength from God. God strengthens me and God helps me to live life and be content in that situation. If you're choosing to focus on the truth of God and the kingdom of God and to live your life under His rule, you will enjoy contentment. If we could just realize that we should only be living for an audience of one, and that audience is Jesus. I'm only living my life to please Him. I'm not trying to please my spouse. I'm not trying to please my boss. I'm not trying to please this person or that person. I'm only trying to please God. That brings so much more peace in your life. If you're a people person, people pleaser, understand, live your life to please God. It will settle so many issues in your life. If you do that, a lot of the chaos will be taken care of. And you'll find satisfaction in life. Here's what I know. If you're full of discouragement and nothing seems to satisfy you, you just seem to be going through the motions, or you just seem to find that things keep you busy and distracted from your unhappiness, I can look you in the eye. And I can tell you, until you start pursuing righteousness, you'll never be satisfied. It's when you start pursuing God's word and living by God's standard that life has joy and satisfaction. It comes from the truth of God's word. Know who you are. Know that you're created by God. Know that you're God's child if you've given your life to Him. And know that you're desiring to live for Him. It will bring contentment. Let me tell you, if you start pursuing righteousness, you'll start having righteous thoughts. You'll start speaking righteous words. You'll start having righteous behavior. And you'll start making righteous decisions. So my plea this morning is to live a righteous life. You'll hunger and thirst for righteousness, that you will be filled, that you'll be blessed.